to the Nordys podcast. We are thankful for all of you listeners.
You're listening to the Nordys podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim.
What?
Hold up. Wait.
Wait.
Jim.
Where's the record scratch on that?
Yeah, Jim, part-timer, not here, so we got a different Dreschmeyer.
We upgraded Dreschmeyers.
Yeah. The better Dreschmeyer. It's Laura, guys. I'm happy to be back. It's been a year. Exactly.
It's been a really long time.
Yeah.
On the one-year anniversary.
This must have been the same time that Jim had like a bad oyster or something again.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I think he actually was on last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was, because we were talking Fantastic Beasts, and he had lots of opinions on it.
I did, too.
And now hates it.
But no, I'm excited to talk about a little of that as we get into the show. But again, happy Thanksgiving. It is a holiday weekend. We're coming to you guys on Sunday night. Hopefully, you guys will be hearing this on Monday at work. And it's great to have you guys. Great to have you guys listening. Hopefully, you enjoyed some time with your family.
Because nothing is worse than that Monday after Thanksgiving break back at work.
Especially when you had the whole week off.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You had the full seven.
Pretty terrible. But we're headed back, and hopefully the Nordys podcast can help you get back into the swing of things. So we have a beer in front of us. What are we drinking?
Going back to Iowa, Toppling Goliath. Very good brewery. From Nowheresville, Iowa. Where is it? Decorah. Just the middle of nowhere. But they make really good beer. So this is their Pompeii IPA. They actually use a hop that's from Pompeii, Italy. I don't know how anything's growing there after Vesuvius took care of business 2,000 years ago. But yeah, their Pompeii IPA, it's kind of everywhere. I've had it before at breweries or at bars. This is really good. It's a little bit more on the, I get this weird like chocolate fruity vibe from it. It's
really
not necessarily my favorite beer that they have, but it is really good and really easy to drink. It has a really high score on Beer Advocate. Not that that's like some litmus test for beer quality, but I really enjoy it overall. Eric, your thoughts?
I feel like it smells like either like apple or white grape juice, and I'm really enjoying that part of it. I don't know. It's really good.
It's interesting that you get the apple and I'm getting like the malt.
I don't
forward
yeah,
for me.
I don't get any of that. It actually smells like juice to me. I don't know. It's really good. I didn't know where Toppling Goliath was even from, so it's news to me. They're from Iowa. I guess something good does come from Iowa.
Barely.
Just barely.
They have to export it, but from the state.
If I had to go there to get it, I wouldn't. But it's really tasty. All right, guys. So now's the time we ask you to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordys Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes. And, you know, it's funny. Every week I'm told not to mention Podbean, but a lot of people tell me that they listen to us on Podbean. So go to Podbean. And I guess we made a mistake by moving off of
SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, because Chance the Rapper bought SoundCloud.
Boy, they needed some funding, that's for sure.
Yeah, they really did. So go to Podbean. That's where we're at now. iTunes, get it right to your phone. And then there's going to be a lot to talk about this week. So tell us how wrong we are. Tell us how dumb we are. And, you know, reach out to us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And help spread the word about the Nordeast podcast. All right. So going back to last week, we talked Brad Pitt, right? We did the Brad Pitt deep dive.
Big time Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And I think we figured that Brad Pitt was properly rated, right?
I didn't listen. I'm sorry.
Oh, so glad we have you.
Truth be told.
But yeah, Brad Pitt, properly rated. But the reason I bring that up is because our goal was to feature an actress. And we were having a hard time coming up with someone that wasn't really old, that wasn't well past their prime, that was in a lot of movies and would be interesting. And I don't think that that was a problem with us as much as that is a problem with Hollywood. And the idea that women pretty much age out of leading roles and they only can play moms and grandmas for the rest of their life at that point.
Well, and we ran into this weird sort of nexus where you have, just to take two opposite ends of the spectrum, like Jennifer Lawrence's and you have Meryl Streep's. Obviously, Meryl Streep, very accomplished, phenomenal actress. But if we were to do a deep dive, probably haven't seen a lot of the good stuff that she did back in the 70s, 80s, or even 90s, or even remember what those movies are about, just because of maybe lack of visibility, or we were all 7 and 8 years old, very young, like when when she was really like hitting her prime. Versus Jennifer Lawrence, you've kind of seen, I mean, you know what you're going to get with a lot of Jennifer Lawrence movies. You know, she had the Oscar win with Silver Linings Playbook, but other than that, it's, you know, Hunger Games, Passengers, and a few ho-hum other movies here and there. So we couldn't find that good middle ground to pick someone.
I know, and I feel like the women who are going to stand the test of time have to like go through this weird, awkward intermediate period where they go from like being the sexy co-star of the movie to like the young grandma.
Yeah, or the witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much when you hit 35, I think you're like typecast as the witch.
Yeah, you're like, you're a witch, or it's funny that you're old.
Yeah.
Like all the jokes are about how now you're
like
you're
the annoying mother-in-law. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So we'll dive a little more into that in a few minutes, but we have to start with Thanksgiving. One of the best holidays, and the holiday we just celebrated. Maybe some of you guys are still feeling the long
turkey
weekend.
Hangover. Yeah.
Yeah, calorie overload.
So my question for you guys is, what are your three favorite side dishes?
Oh boy. I mean, so three. We have to pick three?
You have to pick three, yeah.
And does it have to be a common side dish? Like, does it have to be something that everyone has?
No.
Your dinner, you have to have these three.
Okay.
You can't have any other ones.
Okay, so this is like the desert island three side dishes.
Yeah.
Go.
And we know Thanksgiving is all about sides. No one likes turkey.
I actually love the turkey.
You are an anomaly.
I like the turkey. But you're definitely right that the side dishes make or break the meal. I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll go first. So I'm going classic first. Really good mashed potatoes. I don't think they can't really be beat. You can put mashed potatoes with just about any sort of protein and it's going to taste phenomenal.
Yep.
So I'm going mashed potatoes. I'm going Lutheran green beans.
Lutheran green beans?
So the easy way to make them is the green beans with a can of mushroom soup and the French's crunchy.
Casserole.
Yeah, the French's crunchy onions on top.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole.
I've heard it called Lutheran green beans, but.
But my stepmom makes the cream of mushroom soup homemade.
Oh,
so
la la.
So takes it up another level. Another level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And then I'm going stuffing. Stuffing inside the bird, not the stovetop stuff. I want the inside the bird stuffing.
Controversial.
And I like the fresh when you know, cut up the bread yourself and cut up the celery yourself and put it all in there.
A little sage in there.
And then just put gravy on all of it and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. So you eat it out of a bird.
So they, you know, you actually stuff the bird.
Know.
Yeah, and you scoop it out of there.
I just
wouldn't eat that. It's awesome.
I think that's scary. Eric?
All right. I will not go with mashed potatoes. I think they're overrated.
Ugh, of course you think that.
I actually kind of agree, but...
They're always, like, and the fancier the mashed potatoes, the less I like them.
They're just a vehicle for gravy.
Yeah, I like gravy. So I'm going to go with my first choice is stovetop stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
The cheaper, the better. I want, like, the $1.19... box. Maybe you went crazy and got like a seasoned box and you just add water and throw it on the stove and somehow it turns into stuffing.
You should hit up the grocery stores right now because it's all on sale for like 10 for 10.
Yeah. So I like those quite a bit. That would probably be my number one choice. I think that's the food I like the most at Thanksgiving. Number two, I'm going to go with, what'd you call them? Lutheran green beans. Green bean casserole, I think, is how most people know it. I like green bean casserole. I always think I like it more than I actually do. Like, The first few bites, I'm really into it.
Take too much?
Yeah. Like the first like three bites, I'm like, hell yeah. I've been waiting all year for this. And by bite four, I'm like, I think I'm done until next year.
But then you still have like 25 green beans and you're like, yeah. Well, I already committed to these, so yes. Gotta finish them. Yeah.
And I think number three, I'm going to go with sweet potatoes. I don't know. It doesn't like, I don't care if you make it more of a dessert thing. Whatever.
You don't need marshmallows on it?
No, it doesn't need to. I like the sweet potatoes. I think they kind of mix the meal up. But overall, I love Thanksgiving. I love the family, the time off, the football, the, you know, relaxed nature, the being thankful for things.
Yeah, the end of the Vikings game was just so relaxing at the end of dinner.
Eric came upstairs and was like, that wasn't even fun, what just happened. That wasn't even fun. And I was like, did they win? And he was like, well, yeah. Okay, isn't that the point?
It was kind of miserable. But yeah, so
real quick, sweet potato. So you're not a candied yam guy. No. You're just a straight up sweet potato.
This year his
mom
put pineapple in the pineapple. What are they called? Pineapple yams or something?
Don't know.
There was pineapple mixed in.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But here's my thing. I don't really like, I love the holiday, but I don't really love the food that much. I think the food's pretty overrated. My plan is in the future that everybody's responsible for a part of the meal. Like someone has the main course, someone has side, another person has side, another person has the drink, another person has dessert, and you can bring anything you want. And so it could be like someone brings chicken wings.
So it's a potluck.
Someone brings, you know, a dip. I'd bring a dip for sure.
Yeah. Eric, if you could just eat dips, that's what he would eat.
And as long as it's got Melba toast, you can probably get him to eat it.
Whatever vehicle, like cardboard.
Listen, I got some deep fried turkey on some Melba toast. Eric's like, I love turkey.
Like, I would love it if my Thanksgiving feast had like a White Castle slider, a chicken wing,
gosh,
a s'more.
You're so healthy.
So the Super Bowl is what you want.
The Super Bowl.
In November. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let me get through my list real quick because I feel like it's a little repetitive from your lists. But I have one wrench at the end. So green bean casserole or Lutheran beans. Stuffing, and I don't really care if it's stovetop, if it's fancy. I don't really want it in a bird because I'm afraid of salmonella. And then the third is cranberries. So good. You can't have a Thanksgiving plate without it, like a little tiny bit of cranberries.
So are you the canned cranberry?
I don't discriminate.
Okay.
All
I
are
like
good.
Them all.
A tangy, it's like so good with every bite to have a little bit of tangy sweetness.
Cranberries with like gravy. Like when you, if you get a little fork of cranberry with like gravy and stuffing,
yeah,
it just, it balances that out
perfectly.
It's like
the lingonberries at IKEA.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need it on your plate. And so I couldn't have Thanksgiving without it.
The Swedes figured it out a long time ago.
Yeah. They've got like the carbs and mixed
They were like mashed potatoes is a vehicle for meatballs and gravy. And then we mix it up. Cut it with a little bit of lingonberry.
Yeah, a little acid, a little sweet in there, and it's perfect.
Yeah, it's a really balanced. It's good stuff.
All right, guys. What is something in pop culture, screen time related that you are thankful for?
I appreciate that we did this because we didn't say what we were thankful for at any of our dinners this weekend, which I feel bad about. So, I'm going to say I'm thankful for the John Lewis Christmas advertisements. None of you have seen them, but
I don't
you
even
should.
Know who John
hey,
Lewis
Google
is.
Google this right now.
No.
Do you guys? Yes.
Like now I'm on the pod?
No, I'm telling our listeners to Google it.
Okay.
Take a coffee break and Google John Lewis Christmas advertisements. Eric and I go to the British Aero Awards every year. Which is like British television advertising.
Because Eric thinks he's British. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's basically like all of the advertisements throughout the entire year in England that are like funny or sad or whatever. And the Christmas advertisement from John Lewis is always like a spectacle. Like people in England like sit down and they wait for it to come out and they watch it and they're sad and they're funny and they make everyone makes me cry. And Monty the Penguin is my favorite one. I think that's 2014. Please watch it. It's so good. That's what I'm thankful for.
Wow. I'm going to just spitball here. I don't have anything cool or well planned out like that. But when it comes to screen time, I guess, you know, doing a podcast where I talk about it every single week. And, you know, I am obviously a fan of these massive universes that have been created. I guess what I would say in pretty basic fashion is I'm very thankful that some of the greatest universes that have ever been created are now prepared to give us new story and incredible high budget movies on a yearly basis. And they kind of break it up. So obviously Star Wars, Harry Potter, I think will get back to where people wanted it to go before they, you know, brought Newt Scamander, whatever his name is, in. And obviously Game of Thrones and everything HBO is doing, and now everybody's getting into it, and it's just like there's just too many great things to get excited about, talk about, and watch. And I guess having a podcast that we talk about makes my life a whole lot easier, and for that I am thankful.
Yeah, that's a really, I mean, that's a great answer. I could definitely go with that too. I think I'm gonna go away from the movies and I'm gonna go in the TV direction, and I'm thankful that we have creative new blood in the TV system, like Donald Glover doing Atlanta, going to be doing, oh, what show is he going to be rebooting coming up soon? I forget. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, not important. But he's going to be doing some new shows. We got guys like Sam Esmail. Obviously, Eric, you mentioned Game of Thrones. There's a lot of new blood on cable, and I think that's important, and they're giving them a lot of creative license to do what they do best. And I'm very appreciative for that medium branching out and not just going with the, you know, NCIS Seattle again for the 19th show.
Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago CSI, Chicago Hospital.
Yeah. And just keep recycling the same treads over and over. So that's what I'm from, like you said, from a podcast perspective, and just from like really interesting TV, I'm thankful for those.
All right, guys, so we teased that we were going to talk about the ladies today, and that is our big picture. We're going to talk about the women of Hollywood. So like we were saying before, it has, you know, it was difficult with us just trying to come up with anyone who was worth our time to go through their entire movie catalog. And we ended up just going to another man. And I think that we felt like maybe that wasn't right, but it was just easier to do for our show and might be more interesting for you to listen to. And so, yeah, I mean, I think when going through that, we had to think, what is the deal with Hollywood where women have such a hard time aging and continuing to be the stars that they are?
For sure, for sure. So my idea then to circumvent that was to do a draft of strong female characters. So female badasses, women who are not there to promote a romance in the script, but are there to like significantly alter the plot, save the day. You could say that all these movies pass the Bechdel test. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
No. It's basically this like litmus test for movies, whether or not they are a feminist movie. So basically a scene has to occur between two women speaking to one another, and they have to be talking about something other than a man or other than a romance.
So no movie.
That's no. No. Lots of movies.
Oh.
Lots of movies. Lots of the movies that we're going to be talking about today. So, yeah, Eric, explain the draft.
So, just like our other drafts we've had in the past, we're each going to be choosing teams of four. I will be picking using the website randomnumbergenerator.com to see who goes first, and it will be a snake draft. I don't think we need to have a time limit because we all were extremely prepared coming into this, and we're going to be pretty open to anyone's argument in who is a badass woman in either television or in the movies. As long as you can make an argument as to why your woman deserves to be on the list, they are eligible to be drafted.
I'm ready. I've got my list.
So, Laura, you'll be number one. I'll be number two. Ryan, you'll be number three.
Damn it.
No, it's not the picks. Oh, I'm just saying Okay. Those are our numbers out of one, two, and three on a random number generator.
All right.
So the first pick will go to Laura.
Oh.
The second pick will go to Ryan, and Okay. Picks three and four will go to me.
Okay, so I'm starting out.
You got to lead us off.
Okay.
So you need to like make a big deal like with the first pick in the 2017.
Where's your envelope for this? You're supposed to have an envelope to like rip it open.
Is it like was it in the freezer?
The first pick of the 2017 heroin draft goes to Laura, and my pick is going to be Hermione Granger. I know I just knocked something off of Eric's list.
I think that was first on everybody's list, to be honest with you.
I love Hermione. I know, I just got loud, Barter. That's okay. Yeah, so Hermione Granger, played by Emma Watson. I grew up with her. I think the most important thing about her character is that she's not first and foremost a girl. Like, that's not the biggest thing about her. She's brilliant, and always super brave, down for an adventure, has no qualms with her two best friends being boys, but it's not like about any kind of romance thing. And definitely they would not have defeated the Dark Lord without her. She was so crucial. She solved all of their problems. Yeah, Harry was like a good wizard. I mean, Ron was just dead weight, let's be honest. But yeah, Hermione Granger, number one draft pick.
I like the pick. And in like the tropey world of Hollywood, the obvious love interest would have been Hermione and Harry, right?
Right.
I mean,
and instead it was Ron, which I still was like, meh.
Yeah.
She would never go for Ron.
Guys, I wanna open this up right now. Do you think that there were some sexual tension moments between Harry and Hermione?
No, I don't.
Think yes, for sure.
No. So I didn't read the books, so I can't speak to that.
I'm saying just in the movies.
In the movies, I feel like there were maybe one or two moments that were intentionally weird, not necessarily like, you know, attracted to one another in that regard. But I think they made it seem like there should be, even though there wasn't.
I think it was probably more the fact that like these kids are going through puberty and they're all around each other all the time. And
Stop.
That makes things awkward.
Come on. No, you're trying to act like Hollywood is just like, let's just make it natural and organic. No, they're trying to tell you a story. And
there was no story between Harry and Hermione.
I think the story was exactly what you guys said. There was supposed to be a relationship between them. She was the beautiful, smart girl. He was the chosen one boy. They were supposed to be together. And they were kind of always playing off the fact that they probably knew that in how stories are told, they should be together. But the interesting part was that they never were.
Yeah. And regardless, I mean, we don't want to turn this into a conversation about her romance because that's decidedly not the point, right?
True. You're right. She is badass, though. Always
she
prepared.
She sure is.
Always prepared.
Every single thing she solves.
Yeah.
They would be doomed without her.
I think that she was, when I was looking through some of the lists that people made, she was number one on almost everyone's list.
All right. Barter.
Okay, so I'm I'm going a little more now with my first pick. Millie Bobby Brown. Who plays 11 on Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Came out, kicked ass in season one as a relatively unknown actress, I think, overall. Obviously with a relatively new show in a new format that's doing things way differently than anybody else has done. Shaved her head, which is a pretty badass move.
Mm-hmm.
Season two was a little bit lighter on her initially and then really delved into, you know, her character and the depths. And she became even more badass in season two. So Millie Bobby Brown's my first overall pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick. It was on my list. I guarantee
we just knocked out Eric's top two.
No.
Okay.
You knocked out my top one. I had 11 on my list as someone I was interested in.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to get my second and third choice. So,
well, you get two picks. So,
I do.
Yeah.
So,
with the third pick in the first round of the 2017 heroine draft, Eric selects.
I mean, drag this out a little longer if you could.
Dun dun dun.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
I let that one go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's, I already have her on my superhero list, so I figured I'd.
Yeah. Not she's, her. I think when.
Especially Gal Gadot.
Yeah. I think when all is said and done, she might be the most prominent and, you know, impressive woman on this list. DC is kind of crafting their entire universe around her as kind of the centerpiece and the focal point and kind of the leader of their group now. So she is definitely my first pick. And with my second pick, this one's a little more difficult for me. There are a few people I was really interested in, but I'm going to have to go with Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen, first of her name, the Unburnt, Queen of the Andals and the First Men, Khaleesi of the Great Grassy, Breaker of Chains, and Mother of Dragons.
The eye roll from Barter. I wish you could have picked that up on the podcast.
Jeez.
Yeah.
He definitely had that written down.
First of all, he's trying to make this all about him, right? By doing this huge narrative.
No, I know. Yeah, of course. She was down on my list.
Why down?
I just have some stronger picks.
Okay.
I don't know. Daenerys, I agree. I mean, she's definitely a badass, 100%. But
oh, she does whatever she wants.
I feel like there might be stronger characters in Game of Thrones, stronger female characters.
I don't think so. She's pretty much taken down everybody in her path. She's not trying to just, you know, decide who she is allowed to love. She is trying to rule the fucking world.
Yeah, no, she is. It's good. It's good.
I thought
I like her.
She set that up perfectly. I thought you were gonna be like, yeah, there are stronger characters like Jon Snow, and I thought you were gonna go with that joke there.
I should have, but
no,
yeah, I didn't.
But she teed that one up. And
she
you,
did.
You missed.
She did.
Yep. Is it me?
No,
oh, it's me.
Oh, I don't know how drafts work.
Snake draft.
Okay, go for it, Barter.
All right, I'm going to a franchise Eric hates, so I knew he's not going to pick this one, and it's Miranda Otto. She played Eowyn in Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
And started off as a side character in the second movie, the second film, The Two Towers. And then in Return of the King, really kind of came into her own. I mean, so the whole world is just men fighting orcs and men, and women don't fight, and that whole narrative from, you know, sort of that medieval time. And you have characters like Arwen, who are basically written into the show, I think, from a marketing perspective.
Who's she played by?
Liv Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing against her and her character, but it just, everything seemed like Aragorn's love interest, like, just seemed kind of forced. And she really wasn't in the books as much as she was in the movies. Anyway. That's not important, but Miranda Otto had the famous line when she took down the big wraith, and it was like, you know, no man could defeat, you know, a wraith or whatever, and she like took off her helmet and was like, I am no man. And it was such like a badass, like iconic moment in the franchise that it was towards the end of the movie, it was coming up to the climax, and she played a massive role in this huge battle. And it was the first time I remember watching a movie just being like flabbergasted, blown away. That was awesome. That was so intense. That was crazy. And she had to hide it the entire time. She had to hide that she was actually fighting in this battle and held her own. And it was awesome.
Who is she played by?
Miranda Otto.
I don't know who that is.
I think she's an Australian actress.
Okay.
And I don't think she's been in a ton of American films, or maybe, you know, had bit parts here and there.
Cool.
So yeah, second pick.
Nice. Now is it me?
Yeah, for two.
Okay. All right, so my second pick is going to be another Game of Thrones character, Arya Stark. Because she's just always been like the epitome of a badass to me. You could pick Sansa, right? I think she's also a strong Stark. But Sansa was pretty wrapped up in kind of her romance with Joffrey and, you know, wanting to marry into a good family. And Arya wanted none of that from the beginning. Like, she was always out fighting with the boys. She didn't want to learn her embroidery. I think she's just a good role model for kids. And she has, like, never given up on her goals of getting revenge and being a general badass. She's probably one of the best fighters in all of the series at this point, right?
Yeah, and given her,
like, kind of undefeatable,
like, size and disposition and whatever, probably the least likely to succeed from season one. Like, if you're just looking at it from the season one perspective, like, she's got no chance.
And she's pretty much always been alone. like, Daenerys has an entire army behind her. And so, like, yeah, that's awesome. She's a leader. But Arya is in it on her own, figuring it out for herself, escaping King's Landing by herself, becoming a faceless man.
This is why Dany went first. Dany started out with nothing. She was owned by her brother. She was sold into slavery and was raped and became pretty much the most likely to have the throne of the entire Seven Kingdoms.
That was Arya's fate, but she just got away.
Well, her dad got killed.
Well, yeah, but she escaped King's Landing.
Well, the dudes... Sorry, I'm not trying to... Well, the dudes smuggled her out.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
He like cut her hair and did all that, so she wouldn't be recognized.
That's true.
But from that point on, after the Lannisters came and killed their party, she was definitely on her own.
Yeah, so she's always been a badass. She's probably my favorite female character on Game of Thrones.
All right, you have another pick.
I do. Oh gosh. Okay. Okay. So my third pick is maybe someone you guys wouldn't know off the top of your heads, but Shoshana from Inglourious Basterds.
Phenomenal.
That is one of my favorite movies. All-time favorite movies. Maybe the best villain of all time in that movie, could be argued. And Shoshana is a Jew that was hunted down. Her entire family was killed. She moved to Paris and started this movie theater and saves the day. Like, I don't know if I want to give it away for people who haven't seen Inglourious Bastards.
We have a statute of limitations of like 2 years.
And this was like 2 years. How long is that out? 8 years?
At least.
10 years? I mean, I think you're good. Okay.
So she's being courted by like a German officer, and she kind of exploits that courtship for her own gains, and plots to burn down her theater with Adolf Hitler and Goebbels and all of the Nazi officers in the theater. Saves the day. She's a badass.
I agree. That scene in the restaurant with Christoph Waltz,
yeah,
when he's talking about the dessert, the creme or whatever, yeah, was one of the... I mean, they're just eating in a restaurant in front of all these people and the tension.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she gets out of there and obviously loses it. I mean, this is the guy that
killed her
10 people in with machine guns and shot through the floor and killed everyone that was yelling at her as she was like running away. Mm-hmm. Incredibly well acted by her.
Yeah. It was Melanie Laurent is the actress.
She's awesome.
Ugh,
I agree.
She's so good. That's such a good movie. That's one of the movies I could watch like any day it's on TV.
And Harry Potter, which actually is on every day.
Hey. It reflects in my list.
Freeform. Is that what it is? Is that what it's always on? Freeform TV?
Every single day.
All right. I like those picks.
So far, I've got my first three.
That's good. I'm definitely not going to take any from your list. So I'm going throwback for my next two picks. I'm guaranteeing Eric's not going to get my fourth pick. Dana Scully.
I had her on my list.
Really? Played by Gillian Anderson for The X-Files. Oh, man. X-Files for me was like must-watch TV. Dana Scully, super smart, super genius, FBI agent, badass, really good with a gun, really good thinking on her feet. And they were going up against supernatural forces. Not something you saw every day on TV.
True.
I thought Gillian Anderson is a very accomplished actress in her own right. But X-Files just has this like special place in my heart from, you know, my childhood. Like some of the times I was afraid to go to sleep because the show was like so good and felt real, even though it's about, you know, fake events and things like that. But I love Gillian Anderson.
All right, guys, I think this would have been my next pick, even without all of your guys' awesome random ones. I think I would have taken this person if one of my first two were taken. And I'm buying stock in this person because the amount of money and the machine that is behind her makes her one of the most likely to go down in history.
You can't take Wonder Woman again.
You're taking mine right now.
As a female badass, and that is Rey
yep. gone.
Why did you take Shoshana, who none of us would have taken?
I just love her.
You could have had her in the last round. No one would have taken her.
I have a much more emotional reaction to Shoshana than Ray, but I love Ray.
So Ray, to me...
So Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. To me, this is more buying stock. We don't know if she's going to be good or bad or somewhere in between. We don't know, you know, if she even makes it through the whole story. But I think the thing that's so interesting is that Star Wars was purchased for, what was the amount of money we said? $4 billion or something?
Yeah, I think we guessed like three and it ended up being like five and a half or six.
Yeah,
or some
like astonishing amount of money. And, you know, they put these movies out. They put all this money behind them and they chose to go with this badass, pretty much unknown female. And she's amazing. And I can't even wait for the next episode in the series coming out in a few weeks to see her journey and where she goes. So maybe she isn't the most accomplished person on this list. Maybe she hasn't done the most quite yet. But I am buying stock because she is a total badass.
I love Rey.
And then my final one, quite a few that I could choose from. Some really big names. Some that I really wanted to choose and I just can't because I am competitive and I want to win. I'm going to go with Ripley.
That was on so many lists.
Bitch!
That was on so many lists.
From Alien.
If Jimbo's listening right now, he's been screaming into his headphones and at his computer that nobody had taken Ripley to
this point. I think everybody who's listening is thinking, holy shit, Eric got Wonder Woman and Rey. And Danny and
Eric does have a strong
Ripley
team on the surface.
So Ripley, again, she's in an awesome series, an awesome movie series. She's the star of the show. She's the lone survivor. And she literally has to go through hell to escape and defeat this monster. And she's just badass the whole time. And she doesn't ever come across as someone who is like even surprisingly badass, just like from the get-go. You know what you have with her, and it's probably one of the coolest early performances by a female lead in a movie, just for the time period of when they were made, and you know how timeless they become. It was pretty awesome. So,
what's the actress's name again?
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, there you go, Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, so there you go. That's my choice. Team. That's my final pick. I'll let you guys know some of the people I was thinking about at the end after you guys don't pick them.
Right. Is it my next turn?
No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's me.
I never know.
It's a snake draft.
Yeah, it still doesn't understand.
All right. I'm torn, and I think we can go through the list of our honorable mentions. I think that would be good to go through quickly at the end. I'm going Sarah Connor from Terminator.
Wow.
I'm going way back in time. See, these are all
deep
movies.
Cuts.
These are all movies where... Like, the more I thought about it, Sarah Connor had to defeat a robot as a human that came from the future in the past to kill her to prevent her from having her son, John. And she's had to do it in... So, I'm talking about Linda Hamilton's Sarah Connor. And she had to do it twice. And she had to do it against Arnold. And then she had to do it against the T-1000, who was played by... Sean Patrick? I can't remember his name. Anyway, Sarah Connor was locked up in an insane asylum, broke free in the second movie, met Arnold, met up with her kid, and then they went on to defeat Skynet, we thought. And then the series carries on. She's a well-accomplished military weapons user. She's quick on her feet. She's strong as hell. She's doing like one-arm push-ups and one-arm pull-ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. She's badass.
And I think to your point of who you picked, it's like who kind of made an impact on you growing up, too. Like that's what I was thinking when I was making mine. Which leads me, segues right to my next point. Do I get to draft yet?
Yeah, you're up.
Yeah, the last pick.
Last pick of the draft, Mulan. I loved Mulan. Maybe one of the best Disney movies ever. And arguably... If she's considered a princess in the Disney sphere, she's definitely the most feminist badass one. She impersonates...
More than Moana?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure. She impersonates... Because Moana doesn't go into battle.
True.
Yeah. She impersonates a male soldier to prevent her father from being drafted. That's badass.
Yeah.
And she goes to training camp. She beats all the men because they're like stupid and fat. And then goes into battle and defeats the Huns. I mean, yeah, there's kind of no other badass.
And nobody really beat the Huns back in the day.
No.
Yeah. The Just Huns Mulan. Were pretty tough.
Just Mulan.
So let's go through our teams and let's have a little quick reaction. Laura's team, Hermione Granger, Arya Stark, Mulan, and Shoshana from Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased with that.
All right. Barter's team is 11 and Dana Scully. And what's the girl from Lord of the Rings?
Oh, Miranda Otto. She played Eowyn.
Eowyn and Sarah Connor. And my all-star team, I'm the Warriors here. I have Ripley, Rey,
okay,
Wonder Woman.
There you go.
And Daenerys Targaryen. It's a pretty damn good team.
I would say, yeah, on the surface, Eric's team's his looks the best.
Yeah, it's maybe, pretty good.
From the surface. But, I mean, ours are more kind of varied.
All right, well, first of all, we don't really know how strong or weak Rey is at this point. We think she's going to be badass. We're not really sure.
Yeah.
She may not even make it to the third movie. Just kidding. She's going to make it to the third movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second of all, Daenerys is nothing without all of her
army
and soldiers.
That's the thing.
She's
Did
nothing.
She start
she's
from the
leader,
bottom?
Now
is she here?
She's a good general, not really what you're looking for.
Started with nothing. Now she's about to rule the world.
Are we talking about who's gonna win in a battle? Because my team dominates.
Oh, I'm sorry. Daenerys has two now. Dragons.
I have a wizard.
Dragons.
I have 11.
No, you guys are ridiculous.
Sarah Connor has
weapons
caches.
Wonder
Listen,
Woman.
Sarah Connor's machine guns, your two dragons are done.
No,
so
machine guns?
Over.
Like Hermione
Wonder
will just
Woman.
Spell them out
no,
of her hands.
I'm not shooting at Hermione. I'm shooting at...
Oh, so we're both against Eric's
yeah,
team?
We'll team
oh,
up
okay.
on Eric's
Eight
team.
Eight against four.
All right, guys. We'll take them out, then we'll hug it out and be done. And
I want to know a few of you guys' honorable mentions because there okay. were some people I was saddened to leave off the list.
It is hard when you're only picking four because there were, yeah. there, as the more I thought about it, there were quite a few.
There's yeah. one that I'm going to bring up that I was shocked didn't go, and I feel like maybe the movies weren't good enough, but this is probably a pretty big deal as far as female characters, and that was Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah, I didn't even have her on my list.
She was pretty important. I think when you're talking about just female characters,
people, yeah, to
I
look
think
up to.
And... she was a big deal. She was one of the first like true leading women to get like her own franchise mm-hmm. in Hollywood. I think that's a pretty big deal. No one picked her. Who else was on your guys' list? Princess Leia was on
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, no one picked Princess Leia.
I thought you had to pick Rey or Princess Leia.
Yeah, I would say Rey 100% over Princess Leia.
Leia, like, you know, she picked up a gun and was, like, brave and badass, but that wasn't even really her character. I mean, she yeah. was, like, sort of badass, but I don't know.
My next pick was going to be Furiosa from Mad Max.
That's a great pick.
Oh
God, I'm pissed at myself now.
She was
That's
so
one of my
good.
Favorite movies, too.
That's such a good movie. I mean, I only saw it Shit. Once because it disturbed me deeply, but like it was really a feminist movie at the end of it. It
For
was
sure.
like
the girls
these
were making
women,
all the decisions.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they like band together and yeah, saved the world.
All right, a couple other ones. Selena from Underworld.
Mm.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale. Definitely... they definitely forced the romantic interest on us with Scott Speedman's character, who played the guy who was the vampire slash werewolf guy. Yeah. But
she was awesome.
Overall, she definitely got female lead in her own franchise and has yeah. been raking in money, just continuing to reboot that character over and over.
I had Minerva McGonagall.
Yeah.
Not as big of a character, but a badass.
I had Peggy Olson from Mad Men. Did either of you watch Mad Men?
I never did. I mean, I watched a few episodes.
James would agree with me. But, I mean, she's not obviously a warrior in the way that the other people were. But she was definitely a feminist. And he, like, followed the feminist movement, feminist liberation with her character.
Speaking of warriors, I had...
Xena.
Oh, yeah. Warrior princess.
Lucy Lawless.
She was awesome. I mean, she was an absolute badass. And I feel like when I think
I mean,
of...
the show was pretty terrible.
The show was horrid. But I just think about it for like the time that the show was out and what, you know, what the leading you know, badasses look like. And they weren't women, and they definitely weren't women like Xena. So definitely one that at least should get mentioned.
So I got one. I like, okay. I do like Black Widow. Yeah. Scarlett Johansson from Marvel. She was great. And then I'm going super obscure here, but this is also a childhood movie, and the movie is Willow.
Oh yeah, and I loved Willow.
I had it up here one second. The girl who played Saoirse, which was Joanne Whaley. And Saoirse basically played the role at the end of Vader, which was her mom was destroying all the good characters, and she came in and Vadered the Emperor, just to use a more topical reference, and saved the day. And she had the love interest, not to talk about that, but she was her and Mad Mardigan, which was played by Val Kilmer, sort of met obscurely and had this weird attraction to one another, never like really amounted to anything. But she definitely came in and saved the day. Again, childhood movie.
Yeah.
Where we had, you know, little people playing prominent roles in a really cool.
That was a good movie.
Like medieval science fiction movie. It was awesome.
Any others?
I do. I have one that I'm surprised you didn't take, Eric. Lisbeth Salander, the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
Such a badass. And then I have two other ones. Brienne of Tarth.
She was a good one. I was going to go with her, but you guys already took a couple Lord of the, or,
yep.
Wow.
Game of Thrones. And then my last one was Coraline. From the Neil Gaiman book/movie. And I just read that book a million times when I was younger, so that was a good one for me.
All right, guys, the last one. I feel like I would regret it if I didn't bring it up. But I think the person I was most tempted to take was China.
What?
No?
I don't know who that is.
China?
The wrestler.
China, the pro wrestler.
That doesn't count.
How does that not count? It's fictional. She fought all of the men and usually defeated them. She wasn't a love interest. She was protection.
That's more of a persona than a fictional character.
Or a body. It's a story. It's a soap opera. Do you think soap operas are personas?
Well, that's a.
Persona.
It's a written story. They're just acting it out on live television.
I mean, technically.
I'm sorry.
Technically, it's a character.
I mean, you didn't take it, so it doesn't matter.
Technically, it's a character. But it's also not like a role.
It's not
in
a narrative.
Traditional sense. But I mean, that's toeing the line.
So you know, what's the Williams girl's name? Allison Williams.
Allison Williams.
So
yeah.
You know how she like does live? She was like Peter Pan.
Yeah.
So that was live on television. It was fictional. Was that a persona or was that a character?
Yeah, but she's not going to go to interviews and be like, "Hey, I'm China," or "Hey, I'm Peter Pan." I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. The reason I think she was cool was because, one, she was a badass, like physically. Two. Uh-huh. All of the women at the time were competing in like underwear matches and like bikini matches. And she instead fought the guys and would beat up the guys, and the guys were all terrified of her. And so, you know, I think people could make all the jokes that they want to, but she was the ultimate real badass woman who was proving it once a week on television, and definitely a part of my childhood.
All right. Well.
All right, guys.
We'll give it to you as a non-pick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
there we go.
You can have it on your
Thanks.
Non-pick list.
Thanks, guys. All right, so that kind of wraps up our Women of Hollywood section. If you guys have an idea of whose IMDb or which deep dive we could do next time we do it, let us know. And I guess it doesn't have to be a woman, but we would love to hear who you would like to hear more about. And, you know, if you have a great woman who we could use, that would be awesome as well. So... we're going to move on to our last section, the curtain call. We have our Better Late Than Never segment. Barter, what did you watch?
Baby Driver.
I want to see this so badly.
Okay, so like spoiler free.
Yeah.
It's an interesting movie.
I saw it in theaters.
It's really well done. I think Edgar Wright did a really good job developing the story, developing the characters. Jamie Foxx was awesome. I think it's a good, I don't want to say comeback role because maybe he was just intentionally taking time off, but it was a perfect role for him to play. John Hamm was great. It's a little weird with Kevin Spacey. I didn't realize this until after I rented
it
that he was in it. I forgot. And then I saw him pop up in like the little preview on the little DVD thing. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And then he's talking to, you know, a younger man, sort of exploiting him for his own personal game. So it got a little weird in those scenes and a little cringy.
Yeah.
But it was that tapered off from the beginning of the movie. So it was much more tolerable moving forward. Mm. I guess I liked the musical. It was basically Edgar Wright's way of writing a musical without it actually being a musical, because he got to basically incorporate his like 50 favorite songs that mm-hmm. he's ever loved into this movie. I thought the movie was awesome in the beginning, a little slow in the middle, and then the last 40 minutes were just incredible. Like it just took off and just kept moving, and the tension and the way the all the story worked together. Like, it was a very simple story, right? I mean, it didn't expand too far, but it was a really well done movie. I don't know if it was worth the like 93 it got on Rotten Tomatoes. I would put it a hair lower than that, but overall it was a really well done quality movie. And as we, you know, Eric mentioned, there's a lot of these big universes with tons of reboots and tons of next up in line. It was a really cool, creative breath of fresh air. It was really kind of an ingenious movie. I liked it.
Yeah, and I thought the acting was good. The writing was good. And I'm not really a car person myself. Like, I'm never, like, impressed by fast cars and driving and racing and things like that. And I thought that the driving scenes in it were, like, mesmerizing.
Like, because they weren't cheesy and stupid.
No, they were, like, realistic. Like, it was like, maybe if I tried that 500 times, I could do that kind of moves. But he just hit it every single time. And it was pretty cool. And the driving, yeah, I like found myself like excited just watching it. But yeah, I'm not a big car or driving person. You know, loyal listener Bubba like has watched every
Fast and the Furious
movie like 700 times. And, you know, has the biggest crush on Paul Walker. R.I.P. But yeah, I mean, I don't usually like that kind of movie, and Baby Driver was really good.
It's definitely worth a watch. And the driving scenes for me were so fast paced, and they ended them quickly. Like, it didn't just keep going on and on. Like, they had a very distinct plan and they stuck to it, and it worked, right? It wasn't just this like, oh, they got lucky, and then they drove off of the bridge, and then they landed on all four wheels, and the car was still working perfectly. Like, it didn't have any of that kind of dumb stuff where you're like, okay, they drove a tank through the ice, and then the cars rode on top of the tank. You know, like, again, Fast and the Furious stuff. It was like, drive around for like 2 minutes, and then they, you know, hop into another vehicle and get away. It was pretty quick, and it was like you said, it was well done.
Cool.
Nothing crazily far-fetched and silly.
I do still want to watch that.
All right. And Laura, you have Better Late Than Ever as well?
Yeah, I do. Better Late Than Don't Watch.
Oh.
I don't know how to phrase that, but it was Ant-Man. We watched that the other night. Eric and I watched it the other night. And, you know, I remember seeing the commercials for that and being like, that looks terrible. And then all the reviews came back and they were, you know, it's not as bad as you thought. It's kind of interesting.
No, the reviews were like, yeah, it was like, it's good.
It's funny. It's exciting. Like, I know it sounds really dumb, but it's not.
Spoiler alert, most of the reviewers are paid by Disney.
They must be, because it was just as dumb as you thought it was going to be. And, I mean, we were watching it kind of, it was just like a last minute, like, it's free on whatever, on demand, so let's watch it. I, like, fell asleep. The minute they start befriending actual ants and like befriending flying ants. Have you seen it, Barter?
No.
It's, I was like, actually I'm terrible.
Never going to watch it now.
No, do it not.
No, don't.
The minute I was like, wait, there are real ants in this movie?
I was like, they must be robots, Laura. Like,
and
settle
then
down.
I also just like have a really hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that being small is an advantage.
But you're small with the same strength.
I don't care. Like, it's still just, it's so, so ridiculous, like, that you're small and that's the cool part about it. All of the CGI looked stupid. It was like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
It was.
It was terrible.
It was like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
They befriended an ant in that movie, so it's Definitely, so like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah, yeah.
He has army of real ants.
Army of ants that are his friends.
And they help him, and they like can be controlled.
And
do they
have one of them dies, like, and it's his favorite.
Yes.
This is Kevin, and this is Steve, the ant. Kind of. And,
I don't remember because I was pretty much asleep.
Anthony is his favorite.
Oh, of course.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
And also, I think that Paul Rudd is really funny.
Yeah.
Like, if you think of, what was Knocked Up?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? The movie Knocked Up with Seth Rogen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when he's at the birthday party and Seth Rogen's all mad at him and he's just, like, perfect husband after they went on that crazy vacation?
Yeah.
It's, to me, like, Paul Rudd is hilarious. Like, that scene is, like, actually one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And I thought that was going to carry over into Ant-Man, and he was going to bring that humor. No,
he's
it was like
to be like an ex-convict, which you can't buy to begin with Paul Rudd.
No,
and that was like his least funny role. Like,
see, to me, he's the guy in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like the surf,
yeah,
the surf instructor.
You
like,
sound like you're from London.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
when
it
life
was,
gives you lemons, just say fuck it, bail. Like, that's Paul Rudd's, like, yeah, wheelhouse. Like, that's where,
yeah,
he belongs.
Oh, gosh, that is a funny movie. Yeah, don't watch Ant-Man, guys. Don't do it. Read a book instead.
Or go watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because he's,
yeah,
funnier.
Just, yeah, watch that again.
Yeah, just skip it. All right, guys, so that's all the time we have. We're so sorry that Jimmy Channels couldn't be here.
I don't think we are.
I think he had, like, a hangnail,
yeah,
or
don't
something.
Say sorry.
Well, he
got upgraded.
He was doing some yard work and stubbed his toe. So
yes,
he's on IR again.
Yeah. Stubbed toe, hangnail. I think he ate like a bad oyster or something.
Again. Yeah. Part-time. Yeah. PTJ.
He is. I mean, if we did it, I don't even want to do it. Like, if we did a Twitter poll, like, who was the most part-timer, he would for sure get first.
Yeah. For
if
sure.
And if we put Jim and Jimmy Channels on there, like, he'd get first and second. So thank you so much to Laura for stepping in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
On short notice. We are thankful for you guys. I was going to give you, as the fans, a moment of silence to think about what you were thankful for. But I can answer for you. It's the Northeast Podcast. You love having us with you through all of your journeys.
Free
through
entertainment.
All, yeah, through your road trips,
Your commutes.
Yep, your commutes, your busy Mondays, your busy Tuesdays, your busy Wednesdays, whatever day that you're listening to us. But thank you guys for letting us have a platform and an audience to speak to. And we are most definitely thankful for you guys. So we'll be back with you guys soon with the Northeast Podcast.